Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Let your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his promise, I lose all doubt and fear.
Thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. I wanted to tell you and ask you a question today. Are there certain animals in the world that you like better than others? Tell me what one animal is that you like a lot. Can you think of an animal?
I like a wolf.
A wolf? Uh-huh. Oh, that's cool. How about you? A dog? Yes, a lot of people like dogs. How about you? Which animal do you like a lot? No?
He likes frogs.
Frogs?
Yeah.
He likes frogs?
Yeah.
Oh, you ever eaten frog legs?
No.
No? Oh, that's good. Okay, so I brought an animal to show you today. Are you ready? Uh-huh. Here he is.
A turtle.
A turtle. Where's he at, though? What happened to him? It's just his shell. And he must have gone on up to heaven. Right?
Yeah.
But
you didn't
see him on the way in? No. No. Well, why does a turtle have a hard shell like this?
So nothing will fall on him and hurt him.
Nothing will fall on him and hurt him. That's right. Why else do you think a turtle has a hard shell? Protected. That's right. You know, God took time enough to give all his creatures some way of finding protection. Now, some have better than others, and I'd say turtles are pretty safe, aren't they? But does God protect and watch over us? Hmm? Does God give us a hard shell? Huh? How about you? I see construction workers, and they wear a hard hat when they're out there working, you know?
But they just wear one.
They just wear one, that's right. To keep them protected. I want you to think about the ways that God is at work in our world, reminding us to be protected. It wouldn't be very smart for that construction worker to go out there without their hard hat on, would it? Hmm? They wear a hard hat. Maybe they got the idea for hard hats from turtles.
Yeah.
Do you ever think of that? Don't you think the world is an amazing place? All the creatures and the differences in them and the way God made them all. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm gonna lean this right up here as a reminder that God created so many wonderful things in the world. And when you see that turtle shell, you remember that. God is wonderful and amazing.
Thank you. We'll be reading from Psalms 37, verses 3 through 7a. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was a little girl, my parents asked that all of us, six kids, choose a life verse. And so I was excited when we came up as a staff with the new series that we're starting today called Life Verses. And what you're going to find over the next several weeks is that different ones of us are going to be sharing what our life verse is, that verse that has walked with us through all the different seasons of life, who held its meaning and even grew richer as days went on. So, golly, I was probably 8 years old when I picked this passage of Scripture. And I didn't know at the time when I was 7 years old how rich it would be to choose a life verse that whenever I got into a heavy place or a dark place or a time of confusion or a time of loss, I could lean into this verse. And so this was the verse that I chose as a child. And so I just thought I might share it with you. And hopefully the way it's given me life will also give you life. So I put some of the key words of this passage on the screen. And I want you to notice something as we look at these words from this passage, that I think this verse tells us what we have to do as believers to find wholeness spiritually. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to know that you're taking that next step with God, that your following of Jesus matters, this verse tells us what we need to be doing. And then the other thing I love about this passage is not only does it tell you what you're supposed to be doing spiritually, but it tells us that if we take that step with God, it tells us what he will do in response to our step. So I want you to read with me the first word, delight. That's the first word of this passage. I like the word delight. It's just a fun word. It means to take pleasure in. And so if it's okay with you, I'm going to use these chairs to sort of demonstrate for you what each word means. So let's pretend that you're sitting right here in this chair, and right across from you in sweet connection is God. And God designed this kind of relationship. He said, I want to be in connection. I want you to learn how to delight in me, and I will delight in you. And that's our life's purpose. In case you didn't know what your purpose from Scripture is to learn how to pleasure and delight and enjoy God's presence. But if you're like me, and God is always wanting to delight in you, I don't always want to delight in God. There are moments, not just big times, but little times in my day that I turn my back and go, God, I got this one. I kind of know what I'm doing here. I'll come back when I have a big thing that I need. But for now, I think I've got this one. And God continues to delight in me even when I'm rebellious or turning my back. But you know, more times than not, it's not so much that I'm flat out saying no to God, but it's that oftentimes as I'm trying to learn and to practice delighting in God, sometimes we get distracted. Does anybody besides me get distracted? You know, I looked up in the dictionary what the opposite of delight is, and it was interesting some of the distractions that it mentioned. It said the opposite of delight is disappointment. When we get disappointed with life, oftentimes that distracts us and we focus our attention on that disappointment and we stop delighting in his presence. Another one that it said in the Webster's Dictionary is that sometimes the opposite of delight is sorrow. It is easy to focus on that loss that you've experienced recently or years ago. And it can be so distracting that we literally lose time with our Maker because we're focused on that loss. Another one, of course, that often happens with the opposite of delight is just focusing on our doubts, focusing on things that we think, I don't know, does God really delight in me? So what I'd like you to do is not only if we could learn to delight, I want you to look at what God will do if we can learn to delight in him. Will you read this with me? I will give you the desires of your heart. So you see that? We learn how to delight, and God says, I will give you those desires of your heart. Christians can even learn to delight during the disappointment. That's part of the learning process, and he will give us everything we need for this day. The next word I want you to also say with me, it's the word. Where'd it go? What's that word? The next word in our passage says that we have to learn how to trust. In fact, one of the versions of the Bible in this passage says, trust instead of what? Probably if you're like me, instead of worrying. Trust instead of obsessing on the small things. Trust instead of doubting. Trust instead of trying to be in control of the situation. So if I were to use these two chairs to demonstrate for you what trust looks like, I'm going to say that trust looks like this. That we literally sort of lean into Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't understand it, but I know you've got me. I know you're there. So I want you to see if we can learn to do this in our spiritual journey, what God says that he will do. I will help you. Did you know that right now in your life story, whether you can see it or not, God is helping you with that part that you're struggling with? I want to tell you an example of this that keeps showing up in my life. About this time last year, we decided we wanted to get a little river shack. It's not even a cabin. It's not a house. It's a river shack. And it would be a little place for us to go away as a family and have a little place to hang out. And so Rudy finds this one that he just loves. Alinda took us there. Now, Rudy and Alinda, I think it was a conspiracy theory because they were digging it. And I was thinking, this is crusty. And so we walk in and there's this older man, this gentleman that has been allowed to squat there. And he says he's only been there for a few months, but the neighbors say he's been there about 7 years. And it looks like 7 years because as I open the door, there is everything you can think of in this little cabin. In the middle of the living room, there's a toilet that doesn't work and a sink that doesn't work. There's all kinds of blankets hanging on the doorways and over the windows. There's canned food everywhere. Some was eaten, some wasn't eaten. There is jugs and jugs and jugs of water because there's no running water and there's no electricity. So I'm thinking, as soon as we walk in, let's wrap it up. This isn't going to work. And you know what Rudy says? This is awesome. I'm thinking, what? This is not awesome. You know, I wonder if God sometimes does that with our story. That I'm looking around going, this is not good. And God's going, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to take you to a place that you can't get to on your own, but you've got to trust and lean into me. Let's look at our next word. Will you say it with me? Commit. Say yes. The next word is commit. That's our next thing that we have to do. And it's as simple as just saying yes to God, not just in the big things, but in the little things all day long. Like when he's saying, come spend some time with me and bring your coffee. We have to say yes. When he says, hold your tongue. Don't say what you're getting ready to say. We got to commit. We got to say yes. When we think we know our way, but really we know we need to be in prayer, we need to say, yes, God, I'm not going to go my way. I'm just going to pray about it. I like what my mom said last week as she shared her story. I hadn't heard her say it this way. She said, I'm going to thank God for everything that he has done. And then I'm going to say yes to whatever he has ahead. I think this is what commit looks like. You learn how to delight and you learn how to trust and then you get busy. You start committing, you start saying yes to God, and you head in a direction together. I like the Message version. You know what it says about the word commit? The Message version says it this way, keep company with me. That's what God's saying. When he says commit, he says, just walk with me. Just commit. Just say yes to me. And here's what God will do. I want you to read it with me. What will God do if we say yes? I will make things right. I want you to try those words on. I want you to look at your neighbor for just a minute, and I want you to say this to them. God is making all things right. Go. You know, sometimes that's hard to believe because you're thinking, but it feels so wrong. And there's a right and there's a wrong. And I'm not sure which side I stand on. And I need to make this right. And God's saying, you just say yes to me and I'll make it. I'll make it right. The last word of our scripture passage today is this word. I want you to say it with me. Wait. I'd like you to raise your hand if you like waiting. In traffic, at the doctor's office, waiting on your kid to get out of practice and the coach keeps them way too long. Waiting is not fun. But you know, even though it's one of the hardest spiritual disciplines, did you know that in scripture, the word wait is a lot different than this life thinks of the word wait. We think of it as just kind of waiting for something to happen. But in the scriptures, wait is an active word. It means you're doing something. You know what waiting is in scripture? It's back to this position. It's going, God, I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know when you're going to do it. So until then, I'm just going to keep connecting and leaning and trusting in you. You know, I've been through spiritual waiting times in my spiritual life, haven't you? Where you just had to wait on God to fix it. It was too big for you to do anything about it. And here's the beautiful thing about spiritual waiting. First of all, have you noticed that waiting leads you to intentional prayer? Golly, when I'm waiting on God, I pray about it a lot more. Do you know that waiting also drives you to sort of lean into Jesus? Waiting teaches us patience. It's the only way to learn it, is to learn how to wait. Waiting also reminds us that we are not in control, and sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. And if we learn how to wait, if we can practice that spiritual discipline in our lives, look what God says he will do. I will do it. You know what that means? It means he's saying, I don't need you to do it. Just wait. Just enjoy my presence. Just lean into me, and I will do it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do as we close. Lara has agreed to play one of our communion songs, and I'm going to put up on the screen all four words. And I want you to choose one of these four words for yourself. What word most speaks to your spirit? Where are you in your faith journey? What is God trying to show you? Is he teaching you to delight? Is he teaching you about trust? Are you in a place where you're ready to say yes? Are you just waiting? Are you in a waiting time of your life? So as she plays, if you would, take a moment to meditate and ask God to show you where you are.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.